This what call happened? Is being recorded.
But at any rate, my name is Pat Rogers, and I am the CEO of Unity in Service, where people need people. And I want to thank all of you for coming on the call. Oh, my God. Did y'all see a list of names that came up on y'all phone of people that the call went out to? Or no, y'all didn't get the call.
I just got a text message, not a list of names.
Okay. Well, at any rate, you just got a text message?
Two of them, as a matter of fact, yeah.
Oh, okay. So I guess they just came in a little late. But either way, yes, I'm Pat Rogers again, and thank y'all for joining in the call. And we're going to have, Michael Jones is on the phone. Lady Sears is on the phone, and I have Marion. Marion, are you there? I'm still getting the warnings. I don't know. Y'all technology. Y'all know how technology is. Who's at 561-281-3955?
Gloria Perkins.
Hey.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm hanging in there one day at a time, one day at a time. You know how we do it. They say if we take two, we'll be cheating.
Okay.
So we're going to have those of you who are on the line, please thank you so much. And we want like for you all to introduce yourself. Starting with Marsha.
Hello?
Marsha, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I am Marsha.
Okay, Marsha Smith.
That's
all
my
right.
Caregiver.
Okay. Lady Sears, would you like to introduce yourself and what you do? Tell everybody a little bit about what you do. Lady Sears.
Hello, I'm so sorry. I was on mute.
That's okay. I know how it is.
Okay, good evening, everyone. My name is Lydian Sears. I am your Abundant Lifestyle Specialist here in West Palm Beach, Florida. We are a team of happy, happy people who empower you to live your life by design with passion and purpose.
Okay, that sounds like a plan to me, with passion and purpose. That's exactly why we were on the call today. We're walking
Amen.
In our purpose. We're walking in our purpose, and we'll, you know, seeing how we can serve society.
Amen.
And Michael, would you like to introduce yourself and what you do?
Well, if I had a couple of hours, I'd be glad to.
No, you ain't got no 2 hours.
I am Michael Jones, Bridgeport, Connecticut, retired. I have a ministry of People Excel in Love, of People of Excellence, on TV, community television program Call In. We do encouragement, inspiration, and information to help people to come out of their situation and to be improved in the way and the quality of life. I'm also a speaker of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and motivates. Well, anyway, that's it.
Crazy.
And I like to have to help people to share my past experience of the dark side so that they don't have to, you know, they can come up out of their dark side. That's about it.
That sounds interesting, Michael. We're gonna have to set you up for an interview. That sounds like something we all need to hear, to be inspired. Be inspired. Also, next person, you could introduce yourself.
Okay, my name is Gloria Perkins, and what I do, I'm retired. I am the prayer warrior to keep Chantel lifted up. And and I am a co-owner with A-Class Tax. Most of all, I just keep it all lifted up and keep the word of God going as much as I possibly can.
I love it. I love what you said when you said you keep Chantel lifted up, because we all need somebody, you know, to hold our hand and to pray us through. Michael talked about Amen. God, and I'm going to tell y'all right on the same page with me, because I have gone through a lot of challenges in my lifetime, and I'm telling you, it was the grace of God that have kept me, and he never falls short of his promise. He always come up a winner. He shows up and he shows out. So I think we all on the same page.
Amen.
Ladies, Amen.
Absolutely. Lady Sears, are you there? Oh, you already introduced yourself.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes,
904-323-1558. Can you introduce yourself?
Hello, I am Renata Nash. I run the Jacksonville office of A-Class Tax Solutions.
Oh,
and
nice.
I'm just happy to be here amongst greatness.
Awesome. Renata, how do you spell your name?
R-E-N-A-T-A.
Oh, I was close. And what's your last name?
N as in Nancy, A-S-H.
Okay. At any rate, awesome. Thank you all for joining in. And I got a couple more phone numbers. I'm not sure who they are. But at any rate, we're going to go ahead and move on with the call. And as people come in, we'll just identify them later. So with that, again, for those of you who don't know me, again, I am Pat Rogers. I retired from Miami-Dade Department of Corrections last year. Pam, go ahead, Pam. I'm just getting started. Pam.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you, but you got a lot of background noise. Can
I'm going to put it on mute.
Okay, but introduce yourself first, Pam.
Hello, this is Pamela Moulton. I'm the newest associate of Legal Shield.
Awesome. And what else do you do?
Also, I'm a realtor, also a retired correction officer. Really can't think of much because I want to go ahead and put it on mute because there's going to be a lot of noise in the background.
Okay, thank you so much for joining in.
Okay,
you can go ahead to mute. Yes, okay, so at any rate, the bottom line is, like I said, I am corrections. I retired last year, and I had many challenges in my organization, but I also had tons of accolades. And what never made sense to me was the fact that how is it that a person can be so good from one moment to the next moment, the organization sends out bad signals to that employee, such as being passed over for a promotion, which was my dilemma. But you know, we talked about God earlier, but it was because of Christ, God, the God in me, I knew that I had to stand those challenges. And sometimes God was pulling my coattail because I wasn't lifting him up, as opposed to trying to fit in. And when we try to fit in, a lot of times we end up doing things that's contrary to God's will. And I recognized that one day, and I thank God for that, because it brought me closer to him. And I stopped taking him for granted. And I realized that no matter what, even though sometimes things happen in our life, and we feel, even though we bring some things on ourselves because of the decisions that we make. But what I learned is that no matter what decision I make, even when I'm wrong, God always turned it around and it worked out for my good. Can anybody relate to that?
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah, so basically that's part of my story. It's not all of my story, but I my goal was to retire as a correctional lieutenant. And during the times I was passed over, that's when I started marketing legal and identity theft plans 2 years prior to retirement, because I wanted to have something to do when I retire. And that's exactly what I started marketing that service, because it made sense to me, because those times that I had been passed over for my promotion, I paid high hourly costs for attorneys. I paid thousands of dollars just to get an attorney to fight for what was already really mine. And then I had to show him what to do, or her what to do, and show them the rules to the game and the policies and the procedures. I had to paint the picture for them. So, of course, I did. I kept my eyes on the prize, which was my retirement. And I don't know how they retire now, but back in the day, we received lots of retirement. I mean, we received retirements for the rest of our life. So I do get a fat check for the rest of my life. Somebody need to go on mute. I did receive fat check. I will receive fat checks for the rest of my life, thankfully, because of the hard work that I did. And I did walk out as a correctional lieutenant, which was my goal. And the reason we are on this call is because all of us have goals. All of us have dreams. We have visions for our life. And we're actually shortchanging ourselves when we don't keep God in the forefront. So that's part of my story. And since I retired and I decided to be an entrepreneur, I work my legal business, my legal services, and my identity theft service, doing quite well in it, driving a BMW that the company pays me money for, because I do the work. So no matter what business we're in, we have to do the work. We have to get out. We have to connect with people. We have to make ourselves known, and we have to let people know what we're marketing, or how what we market can help them and help enhance their lifestyle. And that's why we have to connect with people. And that's how I came up with the tag for my company: people need people. We all need each other. And I retired in style, of course, and went out with a bang. And I'm grateful for that today. And since that time, I have become a bestseller author with one of the organizations I'm in. We all got together, some of us, and we all wrote a chapter and created a book, and they published it and did all those good things, because that, of course, gives credence to us as entrepreneurs. Everybody knows that people that are entrepreneurs write books. So I just tried to do everything they told me to do. I've taken coaching sessions. I've also positioned myself as a public speaker. I talk anyway, but everything we do has strategies. So therefore, I stick with the winners. I've invested in myself. I've paid big money to invest in myself, because, if I leave here today, the kids going to spend the money up. So right now, I'm spending it on myself. So it is what it is, because leaving corporate America, I had to find out who am I, what do I want to do, because I was programmed for 29 years to do what they wanted me to do. And I'm excited about that today. So with that, I'm going to introduce to you all our speaker for today. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. How about that? Thank you, Sister Camilla, for jumping on the call. We got Pam on the call. We have Lundi. Would you like to introduce yourself too?
Hi, everyone. I'm Lundi, and happy to be on the call.
Okay, you got something coming up, Lundi?
Yes, I have a great event coming up. It's the Sip in Chat Munch event, where you can come out and network with different entrepreneurs like yourself, and at the same time, you'll be able to enjoy some organic Creole cuisine and get to know people that you never met before. It's $10 to attend, and the event is on eventbrite.com, so I encourage you today to go ahead and support and get your tickets.
Awesome. And are you going to have speakers there?
I'm going to have a group of remarkable speakers, and our very own Pat, she will be there, Patricia Rogers. You'll be able to connect with our stylist, Rachel LaCoy, and we have Edmund that will be there as well, and many more vendors to connect with.
Awesome. And how much are your vending tables?
Vendor tables are only $40.
Okay, awesome. And that's an announcement there. And also, I'm going to call you in a minute, Chantel. I done got fired up, girl. Listen, we had a nice event last week, last week at Chantel's. I went to West Palm Beach. Chantel had an awesome event. She had some speakers there. It was really, and this is what I do, y'all. I just network all over the place. I love meeting people. And we had a wonderful time. And I think that's where we ran it. We have two new callers on tonight who are Chantel's guests. Miss Perkins, I think, were you at the event last week?
No, I had a service at first class. So I was able to be there.
Okay, but either way, you still represent Chantel, and that's awesome. That's beautiful. And then we have Renata. Renata, were you at the event last week? Okay, so at any rate, I don't know what's going on. But at any rate, somebody needs to go on mute. I don't know who it is. Okay, so I muted the caller. Okay, so at any rate, the bottom line is this is what it's all about. So thank you all for tuning in. And again, We are here because we are setting a platform for all of us to connect and get some very valuable information. And today, every week we post on Facebook and through our via text the speakers who will be speaking for the interviewer who will be interviewed for the week. And today we're going to have Chantel Brown. And Chantel, I met Chantel at an event with one of my mentors, Bill Walsh, who will be coming to speak for us at an event in October. And I'll tell you all more about that another time, later, whenever. And Chantel, I met her there, and we just immediately connected. And this is what happens, you know, when you have things in common. We immediately connected, and we've been connected ever since. So Chantel, I love the way she speaks. I love the way she gets her message across about what she does and how she enhances the lives of other people. And we're going to let her jump in, and she's going to tell us about her. She's going to tell us her history, how she got started into her own business. She's going to tell us about maybe some challenges that she had along the way. But most of all, what I've enjoyed from hearing her story is the fact that she did not give up. She kept on, she persevered, and I believe in perseverance. I believe in being persistent. I believe that whatever I want, when I set my mind to it, I will get it with faith in God, of course. And Chantel, I'm going to let you tell your story because I really enjoyed hearing your message. And you're going to tell our listeners Camilla, where you at? Camilla, introduce yourself. I'm sorry. And oh my God, I got Ms. Smith on the phone, on the line too. Camilla, go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Carmela Bowens, and I'm the founder of Fire Diamonds 100. And what we do in our organization is we help people push past their past pains into the prosperity, the promises, purity, and everything that God has for them. It's victim advocacy, and I'm just excited to be on the call with all of you beautiful people. I hear everything that you're saying and everything you're doing and all of your endeavors. I'm very inspired by Patricia Rogers and glad to have met her and known her. She keep me up and running, trying to keep up with being inspired like she does and just driving forward. So I just hope that God strengthen each and every last one of you and all that you're doing and continue to bless you as you move forward in your business, and may you prosper as your soul prospers.
Awesome, awesome. I have Ms. Smith on the phone. She's a little shy. I don't know if you want to share today and introduce yourself today, Ms. Smith. Would you like to? If not, it's okay. We connected, Smith and I connected over, we are in the same organization together. She heard me on an interview with the Wild Wednesday. They call it Wild Wednesday for Women's Prosperity Network, which Lady Sears is a part of that also. And ever since then, she's been following me. We started emailing, we connected on Facebook, and then she started popping up on the call. So that's what we do. I send the calls out and people start getting on, and that's what we do. So thank you all again for joining. So Chantel, I'm going to let you share your message and share how you can help, enhance the lives of all of us who are here on the phone. And we definitely want to hear how you got started, some of the challenges that you faced, and at what point did you realize what your true passion was? Take it away, Chantel.
All right. Hello. Can you guys hear me? Pat, can you hear me?
Oh, I hear you good. Can you all hear her?
Just wanted to make sure. I kind of got quiet on there, so I wasn't sure if y'all was still there or not. So, good evening, Wealth Creators. Good evening. First, I would like to start by saying, Pat, thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity to share my message and to educate on what it is that we do over here at A-Class Tax Solutions. So, again, my name is Chantel Brown, and I am the founder and tax strategist of A-Class Tax Solutions, where taxes are made simple. Start out with a little bit about me. I've been doing taxes for probably greater than 20 years now. I actually started out doing taxes. My mom, when I was younger, a little girl, probably like in middle school, My mom used to do the tax returns for, like, my aunt, the just immediate family member, nothing for, you know, nothing for a fee, no one is paying. It was just doing it for the immediate family. And during that time, I'm not sure if I will say how old I am at this point, but during that time, we didn't have a computer. We would have to go to either the library or the post office in order to gather the books that they used to put print out. So that you could, and you had to read line item and page by page in order to get a tax return filled out. So I was introduced to the world of taxes at a very young age. After that, but during that time, really had no desire. That wasn't my passion during that time. When I was in school, it was my desire to become an attorney. I wanted to be a lawyer. And so I went to college. I graduated high school, went to college. I am a proud graduate of the illustrious Bethune-Cookman Now University.
Awesome.
And when I got to school, I had a plan and I knew what I wanted to do. And my plan was to be an attorney. I wanted to be a lawyer. Freshman year, I go in and I sit down with my advisor, and he first thing, it kind of threw me off because he wasn't an advisor for, like, the pre-law department. He was the advisor for the history department. So I'm like, what in the world? So he gives me my layout of over the next 4 years. These are the classes you're going to need to take so that you can get your pre-law degree. And it was history class after history class after history class, and that was a negative for Chantel. I'm like, that's way too much history. No, thank you.
Oh, wow.
So, at that time, because my plan had just gotten totally busted up, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So talking to a few of my friends, they said that the easiest degree to get is a degree in criminal justice. So here, criminal justice, here I come. So then I decided that I wanted to work with children. I wanted to work with the juveniles, mainly juvenile delinquents. And one day, I'll never forget it, I was in my class, criminology class, and we had a probation officer come in, and he started telling us about the new laws that they were trying to implement in the field that would require anyone working in any type of criminal justice capacity to carry a gun. And Chantel Brown is very afraid of those things, so that was another negative. At this point, I told my mom, like, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but it's not going to be that either. But now I had a decision to make. Do I graduate next year, or do I stay in college another 2 years? So naturally, the decision was to go ahead and graduate college. So then we're going to fast forward a little. I graduated with my degree in criminal justice, and I did a lot of temporary work. So I have a lot of experience because I worked a lot of temp jobs. Worked in corporate America, but really never found my fit. By this time, I have two children, two young men. And it was like, I still don't know what am I going to do with my life. I don't know what to do at this point. And I'm pregnant with my daughter, my baby, my princess. And I get a phone call from Kelly Services that says, we have a CPA that needs assistance. It's only temporary. The job is going to end in April. So I'm like, okay, not a problem. You know, that'll give me plenty of time to basically take my own maternity leave. You know, I'm going to go on maternity leave early because I'm pregnant with my baby and she was due to be born in June. Worked for this CPA, got in there, and it was a one-man, like it was just him and his fiance, but it was really like a one-man shop. And I am a worker that I'm a worker, so I can't just go sit and you pay me to do nothing. That I would rather stay home. So as he is collecting tax returns, mm-hmm. I'm processing them because I'm familiar with the field. I've done taxes before, and now mm-hmm. I can do it on the computer, so it's easy. One day he comes in and he notices that the files were shifting. So he asks, what's going on? Who's doing these returns? So me, afraid that I'm about to get in trouble, I don't say anything. And so his fiance, being who she was at the time, she told him she was doing them. So a couple weeks went on, same thing going on. I'm still following my same routine because I haven't gotten busted yet in my mind. And one day he called me in his office and he told me, Chantel, I know that it's been you, you know, because I've been with this all of these years, and she's never done anything like that before. So the obvious answer is that, you know, it's you who's doing it. So I'm like, Lord, this man is about to fire me. Opposed to firing me, he took me under his wings, and he taught me so much.
Wow.
He gave me everything that he had in him, he poured into me. He hired me full time. I worked for him even after I had my daughter. I worked for him a couple of years. And he required one thing of me, that because at this point I have a degree, but it's in criminal justice. So he wanted me to have a degree in accounting. And at this point I have three babies. Like, Lord, I don't have time to go back to college. Like, who got time to do that? Mm. And I'm doing what was necessary to him after he's poured everything he had into me, and me not being able to honor the one thing, you know, that he requested is he let me go. And for most people, that would have been where it ended. But for me, it was actually where it began. From that point on, I knew what I wanted to do.
Wow.
That accounting is what I wanted. And I was like, I'm going to be an accountant. I'm going to do this. And this is what I'm going to do. Then I worked. I went back after I had my had that happen, took a little time off, went back to work, and now I'm working at all the corporate jobs I have. I'm working in corporate America, and I'm doing accounting. But I'm still freelancing on the side to do taxes. As time went on, it just became clearer to me that I love what I do, but taxes was my passion. I do the accounting, and I enjoy that, but I am passionate about taxes and educating people on the tax code. Like, that's just what I enjoy doing.
Awesome.
Back in 2009, I was in corporate America. My oldest son, he was in the seventh grade. And in middle school, he wouldn't play basketball. He's a basketball player. He's an athlete, and he wouldn't play. And I was like, son, why are you not playing basketball? Like, you got to keep playing so you can be prepared for high school. And he was like, Mommy, I'm not accustomed or used to you not being there. And if I play, because the way the middle school games are set up, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar, but you play middle school games 4 o'clock in the afternoon for basketball. And my son was like, if you can't be in the stands, I don't want to play. And it
wow.
was time to make a decision. And I came home and I talked to my family and I was like, look, I need to be able to have freedom. I don't want my kids living regretfully because I can't do something. I don't want them to not live their dreams out or do what they enjoy doing because they're afraid Mommy is not going to be able to do that. And I began at that point going into my corporate job every day wanting the people to fire me. Not fire me because I wasn't doing my job. I wanted them to fire me because if I quit, I couldn't collect unemployment and we still had to eat.
Ooh, I know about that.
I went in and that was my plan. And when you're working for other people and you don't always see the eye to eye, and you're not that top level management, it doesn't matter what you do. Sometimes it's just not good enough. So I need to work for myself because my good is not just good. My good is great. And if you don't see that, then it's time for me to go. And in 2009, as God had it, that's what happened. We parted ways. My manager, immediate supervisor, she was upset. But, I was praising God because it was like that was what I needed, that push in order to do what I'm doing right now and to have the freedom that I have to help individuals and families and business owners understand not just taxes but legal implications of owning a business, full financial implications of owning a business. And I love that opportunity to be able to help business owners. So from that, I freelanced again. And then in 2012, A-Class Tax Solutions was formed. And we have been kicking strong and growing every year, every day. Thus after, we're still learning, we're still growing, but I thank God that we're still here.
Awesome.
So that's my story. I'm sorry if it was a little long-winded, but that's my story. And it's and I didn't go through everything, so it hasn't been easy. It's definitely been a rocky road, but God.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And doing that, I have to make sure that people understand that as our name says A-Class Tax Solutions, that we're definitely more than just taxes. So just to give you a quick idea of how it works with us is whenever I sit down with a client, my ultimate goal is to help them create a financial life plan. And you may say, well, what's that? Well, what that's going to include is a money management plan, which most of you may know as a budget, a tax strategy plan, and a money map. This plan is going to be detailed with three specific strategies: shifting, coding, and timing. Shifting is simply showing you how to shift income so that you can pay less in taxes or that we can defer taxes. Coding is simply the tax code, and timing is making sure that everything that we do is defined and set for the right time. Now, my mission for the next 5 years is I want to show 1 million small business owners and entrepreneurs how they could save thousands of dollars on their taxes and then use those savings to build even more wealth. Now, once we do that, that's going to create a legacy for transferring wealth for generations to come. At A-Class Tax, we are socially conscious. We are a socially conscious company, so a portion of our revenue is contributed to teaching financial literacy to disadvantaged families. So now that I have taken you through who Chantel Brown is and how A-Class Tax Solutions has come to be, Pat, if you don't mind, I would like to just go right into why they're here for this call today.
You would like to go into what, Chantel, why they're here for the call?
Yeah, just go straight into why we're here, like what the intentions are for this call today and what I plan to bring to the table today.
Absolutely.
Okay, so wealth creators, that's like all of my clients, everybody on this call, you are wealth creators. And during this call today, you're going to learn how to reduce your tax liability and increase your income through tax strategy planning.
Awesome.
So what I would like to touch on is the 10 most mistakes that business owners and entrepreneurs make that cost them thousands of dollars every year.
Whoa.
So let's start by taking a quick look at how the tax system works. This is going to lay a foundation for understanding the specific strategies that we'll be talking about soon. The process starts with income. Now, income is what we're going to think that the IRS is interested in. It's simply going to be our earned income, which is our wages, salaries, bonuses, commissions, our profit and losses from our businesses, interest and dividends from like your bank account, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, capital gains from any property sales, pensions, IRAs, and annuity income from those of us that are retired, alimony and gambling winnings, and even illegal income is taxable. The IRS they don't care how you make your money. They don't care where the money comes from. They simply want what's theirs. They simply want their share of it. Now, the good news is if you are operating in a legal business, that you can deduct the same expenses as if you were running a legal, legitimate business. For instance, if you're a bookie, you can deduct the cost of the cell phone you use to take bets. And if you are a bank robber, then you could choose actual expenses or standard allowance to write off your getaway car.
Wow.
So now, all joking aside, let's dive into these 10 top mistakes. The biggest mistake that most people make when it comes to taxes is simply failing to plan. It doesn't matter how good you or your tax preparer think you are or how good you are with the stack of receipts that you have in the boxes on April the 15th. If you run your own business and you didn't know that you could use medical expense reimbursement plans to write off your kids' braces as a business expense, then there's nothing that we can do about it if we haven't set up that plan.
Wow.
Tax planning simply means looking forward to minimize your taxes and not just recording history. What should you do? When should you do it, and how should you do it? Tax planning gives us also two more powerful advantages. First is the key to our financial defense. You have two ways to put cash in your pocket: by financial offense, which is making more money, or financial defense, which is spending less. Now, for many of us on the call, our biggest expense is taxes. So the second is tax planning, which it guarantees results. You can spend all sorts of time, effort, and money promoting your business or working on your portfolio, but that won't guarantee your results. Or you can set up a medical expense reimbursement plan, deduct your daughter's braces, and guarantee savings. Now, the second mistake, that big mistake that is just as important as the first one, is fear. Rather than respecting the IRS, we are afraid of the IRS. Now, when we're talking about tax planning, we're talking about, you know, how do we beat the odds of being audited?
That's a good one.
The truth is that most experts say that it pays to be aggressive. And that's because overall audit odds, they are low. The most legitimate business deductions, they're not going to wave a red flag, but a lot of times we are afraid to take all of our deductions for our business because we are afraid we're going to get audited. We are afraid of what the IRS is going to say.
Okay, Tantel, I want to cut in right there and ask you a question. I like everything that you're saying. If you hold your thought, don't lose your thought. I know you on number two. We're talking about tax planning and the fear of the IRS, auditing, and how to beat the odds. My question is this: all of us, I'm sure, have had tax people in our lives. I'm sure all of us. My question is: when you run across a tax person that tells you when you're in business and you know you're writing off a lot of stuff, you know you can write these certain things off. So sometimes we spend more than we probably should. But the bottom line is whatever we spend, we know we can write certain things off. And then you have a person that's doing your taxes and they tell you that they don't want to put down everything because they don't want to raise the red flag. What is your stance on that? Because to me, that's scary.
My stance on that will be to keep running. If your deduction is legal, and it's something that the IRS, it is legal, you actually spent that money in your business, and that's a way that you can save money on your taxes, why wouldn't you write it off? I tell my clients all the time, like, the only reason you're afraid of an audit is if you don't have the paperwork necessary to back up the numbers that's on your taxes. That's the only reason to be afraid of an audit. If the documentation that you have is in place, it is true, correct, and accurate, why not deduct it if it's going to save you money? My main goal is to save you as much money as possible. I don't like to see red numbers because in my system, a red number means you owe the IRS, and I don't like to see red numbers. So
awesome.
We're going to use every deduction that you have that's legal, we're going to use it.
Thank you.
Not a problem. And one of the things that we also need to understand is that right now, the audit rates are actually at a historic low. There was actually a study that was done in 2014 that states that the overall audit rate in 2014 was just one in every 100 returns. The IRS primarily targets small businesses, especially sole proprietors and cash industries like pizza parlors and, you know, coin-operated laundries. But if you have the documentation and your numbers are what your numbers are because those are your expenses and this was your income, then there's no reason to fear the IRS. Because you have to remember that it doesn't matter how big and bad they look on the other side, they're still a person. They're still human. And So you can always go in, and even if there's an issue, you can always negotiate with the IRS. And most people are, like, we are so afraid of it that we try to avoid dealing with it, so we would rather not take what we legally can take. Now, the next biggest mistake is choosing the wrong business entity. Most business owners start out as sole proprietors, Then as they grow, they'll establish a limited liability company. They might even incorporate to help protect them from any type of business liability. But a lot of times what ends up happening is we're not discussing this with anyone. We're just going out and making a decision on, or we're talking to them. And them will be anyone who is not an attorney,
yeah,
not a professional, not a business organization coach, not someone who actually knows what would be the best ramification depending on your type of business. So if you hear me talking about them, that's who they are. Someone who has no expertise in the subject matter, but they have all the answers, which are 9 times out of 10 not accurate.
But I agree with that. I agree with you on that.
Tell us, my sister, goddaddy, cousin, uncle said that you should be a LLC. I'm going to tell you that anytime that it's dealing with your money, and it really doesn't matter what that matter is, there's two people that you need to have on your team, no matter what level you are, and that's an attorney and a tax or financial professional. Because every decision you make concerning your business is going to fall some type of way under those two categories. So it's important that you consult with an expert in business entities before, you know, making a decision on how do you want to get your business set up. Now, let's talk about the fourth mistake, which is choosing the wrong retirement plan. Now, if you're looking to save more than $5,500, which is the limit for IRAs, then you have three choices. There are three main choices when we're talking about retirement plans as a small business owner, as for an entrepreneur. And that can be a simplified employee pension, SEPs, or simple IRAs, or either you can set up a 401k. But the problem is a lot of times we're just, again, haphazardly doing something. We're not, you know, not talking to a professional. So we may be doing something that's really not what's in the best benefit for us for retirement or even for taxes. So, and I'm not here to really talk about retirement plans and business entities, but it's important to understand that how every decision that you make is some type of way affecting, and your business is affecting you financially through your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that, you know, even with the retirement plan, there's different, like there's ways that you can use those as tax deductions as a small business owner or entrepreneur. Now, the fifth mistake is simply missing the opportunity to hire your family. Many people are not aware of this, but you can hire your children or your grandchildren, and that is a great way to cut taxes on your income. And basically with this method, it's going to be one of the three strategies that I talked about earlier in our plan. It's called you shift that income to someone who pays less. So basically there is a minimum age, which I believe at this time is like 7 years old. But if you have a child or a grandchild that is 7 years old and you need a way that you could try to cut back on paying some of your taxes.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we have savings accounts for our kids, or we have different things for our kids, or even allowances that we give to our children. Mm. Why not make a legitimate employee of your business, make them earn what you're giving them? So now we're teaching. So now it's a double-edged sword because we're teaching our children how to work for what they want opposed to just giving them everything. And then it's also a tax write-off because the child is actually an employee of the business. Now, again, you have to be at least 7 years old, but the first $6,300 of their earned income is taxed at zero, which means that you can shift $6,300 annually to your child that's age 7 to 18, and they pay zero taxes on it, and that's even if you claim them as a dependent on your very own tax return. Now, with that, people don't understand, but as a small business owner, that's major.
Because that's awesome.
owner, if you're making too much money when it's time for your child to go to college, there is no financial aid. So right now, that's financial aid right now that you just start saving that money for their education when they get ready to go off to college. And guess what? It's a tax write-off because you just hired your child to work for your company. And now you're able to pay for their college and write it off of your taxes at the same time. And that strategy even works if your kid is in private school. So the important is just knowing what you can and cannot do and planning for it. Because there is paperwork, you know, that has to be in place. There are things that have to be done, but there is definitely a legitimate legal way of doing it and being able to write it off on your taxes. And I guess the best example that I could give for that is, let's just say that your daughter wanted to go and she wanted to spend 2 weeks at a cheerleading camp. And that camp was going to cost you a couple hundred dollars. What you can do is you can hire her, have her earn that fee, pay her through payroll. You're going to pay for that account with after-tax dollars, but then you're going to write that off on your business taxes as a business expense because you actually had her, you hired her to do work, so now that can become a legitimate business expense.
That's awesome.
Now, the next thing is health care. As a small business owner, I find a lot of times that we don't have health insurance because outside of taxes, the next largest expense that we would have is health care, health insurance. As a small business owner, we all know, and it's rising. The health care costs are rising. It's not going down. It's rising. And with this new administration that we have, you know, even there was a little bit of help out there with the Affordable Care Act, but now with this new administration, you know, we really don't know what we're facing. We have an idea, but you know, you don't know what we're facing, and if what he is proposing actually takes place, insurance is really about to become unaffordable. But there are ways that if you are self-employed and you own and you pay for your health insurance, you pay for your own health insurance, that you can write that off on the first page of your 1040, and it comes straight off of comes off before taxes are even calculated. Or if you pay more, which is not, most of us don't do it, but if you have more than 10% of your adjusted gross income and medical expenses, then you can always deduct that on the Schedule 8 if you itemize. So that is another healthcare cost is another mistake, or I'm not even going to say mistake, just overlooked that as self-employed and entrepreneurs that isn't taken. We don't see that a lot. The number seven is the home office deduction. And this is probably the most misunderstood deduction in the entire tax code. For years, taxpayers feared it because we've been told that it raises an automatic red flag if you claim this deduction. And a lot of times, and I guess I want to ask you guys a question, and you don't have to answer it out loud, but you answer it to yourself, is if you are a small business owner that works out of your home or, you know, conduct business out of your home, have you ever deducted that home office expense? And then if you have deducted, were you audited for deducting that? But one of the things that we found out is that every now and again, there'll be an article in a magazine or a newspaper or even on the internet, and you will hear these authors or writers of these articles telling us, beware of the home office expense. You know, that's going to cause a red flag. You're going to be audited. But my question to them would be, whose money is being left on the table?
Yeah.
But we're listening to all the, you know, when we're listening to these things without doing more research and found it out for ourselves, who's losing money? The person, Pat, for instance, the person who told you don't make all of these, don't take all of these deductions, it's too much, or you. So if you ever get to, and it doesn't matter if it's me, if you feel like, I mean, I tell people all the time, ask questions, ask me questions, because you need to know what is going on, because it's your money. And when it's all said and done, the main thing is if we leave something, if something is left on the table and not a deduction is not applied to your taxes, who's leaving money on the table? You are that person preparing your taxes. You are that person who you're listening to. And the answer is always going to be you. If it's you, if it's your return, if it's your stuff, the answer is always going to be you. So you want to make sure that you're working with someone who understands that, you know, when it's all said and done, this is my money that I'm working my heart on money. And as small business owners, entrepreneurs, I just had someone in the office today, and it was like, you live, eat, breathe your business. So if you're working very hard for your business, who are you working for, yourself or for the IRS? I'm working for myself. So I want to be able to keep as much as my money in my pocket and my bank account and my growth retirement account as possible. So because this is a misunderstood deduction with the home office, I want to go into it a little bit more. The home office, what qualifies for the home office expense? The first thing is it has to be used exclusively and regularly for the administrative or management activities for your trade or business. Administrative. So it does not mean if you are a realtor that you can't take this deduction because you go and show houses on another street. If you do, you can go and work wherever you work at. But when you get ready to do your paperwork, even if you have another office, or even if your broker has an office that you might go in, if you do the majority of your administrative work, which would be your contract, which would be, you know, your bids, if you do that from home, then you qualify for the majority of the time you qualify for the home office expense. And the other thing is, if you have no other fixed location where you conduct a substantial amount of your administrative or management activities for your business, then again, you qualify for this. And again, it's true even if you have another office space. So even if your broker, for instance, because I know that there was a realtor on the line, your broker has an office space, and, you know, sometimes you just get a little crazy in the house and you just want to go, you know, go to the office just to get out of the house working. But for the most part, you work at home when you're doing those administrative duties. You can use the home office deduction as a deduction. You know, you qualify for that as a deduction. The other thing is you have to understand is the space does not have to be an entire room. I used to hear that all the time.
Could you repeat that? You said the space does not have to be an entire room. Right. Okay. I just want to make sure they heard that as well. Okay, great.
It does not. I've heard it a lot. Like, I was actually trained that in a training that it had to be a room that was a certain size without a bed in it. And that's not true. It could be a desk in the corner of that room. Now, only thing that you're going to be able to write off is that little area that the desk is, whatever corner is in. But it doesn't have to, you don't have to have a physical office where you have, where there's your chair on one side and a chair for, you know, your client on the other side. No. If you're working at home, then, you know, and you have a desk over there in the corner of your den or your living room or even your bedroom, you can use this home office deduction. And it'll just give you those deductions according to however big that space is where you're working.
Awesome.
That is another big one. And a lot of people, they don't take it because, I have a desk and my bed is in that room. No, it does not matter. It does not have to be the full room does not have to be dedicated to your business. You just need to work in there between 10 to 12 hours a week, which shows that you are conducting a substantial amount of your business administrative tasks in that space.
Awesome.
So now let's talk about the car and truck expenses. This is another one that we kind of misunderstand. And for a long time, even myself as a planner and preparer misunderstood it. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a question, and you don't have to answer it out loud, but if you are a small business owner or entrepreneur and you are using your truck, you know, or your vehicle in order to go meet clients or in order to grow your business as the realtor, in order to go meet, you know, with your prospective home buyers. Are you taking the standard deduction or are you taking the actual expense deduction? And I would want to remind you that at this time, the standard deduction is simply the IRS allows for 54 cents per mile as a standard deduction, which means if you drive 100 miles, then the IRS is allowing you 50% per those 100 miles. So 50% per 1 mile, 54 cents, I'm sorry, not percent, 54 cents per mile in order to be deducted. So basically you're looking at a little bit more than half on a dollar of what you're getting. Well, here's where, and then, so that's the standard deduction. But then you have the actual expenses, which is if you are leasing your car, the insurance you pay on your car, the every time you get a repair done to your vehicle, actually what it costs you to upkeep your vehicle, and you're getting that at that cost. So what happens is if you do the standard deduction and somebody has, let's just say, and even with actual gas is involved. So that one is a little tricky. And at one point, even myself was the standard deduction. Overall, you're going to get a better deduction, but that's not always the case because it's going to be dependent upon the vehicle. Some vehicles do better gas per mile. Some vehicles are not so good on gas per mile. So it just depends on it. Just make sure that whoever your tax preparer is, they're not just giving you that. We want to do a comparison to see which one is going to give you the best benefit.
Right.
So that one is another one that we want to. And every year, AAA does a survey about they publish a survey on operating a vehicle, vehicle operations. And it says costs vary according to how much you drive. And if you're just taking the standard deduction for a car that costs more than 54 cents per mile, then you're losing money every time you turn the key.
Wow.
So it's important that you understand or that you know how much does it cost. Like for your car, how much is it costing you per mile to run your car? And that's with your gas, that's with your oil changes, that's with your new tires. If you're a small business owner like me, you got to almost buy brand new tires every 1 to 2 years because I'm on the road a lot. So it's important to understand the difference between the standard deduction and the actual expenses.
Awesome.
Now, as we come towards the end, we're going to talk about some fun deductions, and that is going to be the entertainment. So our last mistake is that we are not properly taking the deduction for meals and entertainment.
From what?
For meals and entertainment.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Go ahead. Good.
We're not calculating that properly. Understand this, that the basic rule from the IRS is that you can deduct the cost for meals with a bona fide business purpose. And that means a client, prospect, referral sources, and business colleagues. So if you have a meal with a client, a prospect, referrals, or a business colleague, then that qualifies as a bona fide business purpose according to the IRS basic rules, and it qualifies as a deduction. So now let me
I have a question.
Let me
ask you a question on that. Okay, let's just say we're out and about, we're at the office, or we went to the library to do some work or whatever regarding your business. And you stop and have lunch along the way. Can you write those receipts off for lunch?
Yes.
Since you're out doing business for your business, you know, you got to eat. So.
If you do that, let me explain this. That was a good question, Pat. So let's just say that you're not with anyone, it's just you. And you're out working and you're out prospecting. You're doing your four corners. You're out there knocking on doors and, you know, you're trying to get clients and it's really hot right now. And you decide, you know what, I'm going to take a break and go eat. That's a business meal because your work, that's a business expense, because you are a self-employed person, or you are an entrepreneur, you're a small business owner, and that meal that you took or that you bought, that was for a business purpose, because I need to be able to grab this right here so I can get back in out here with boots on the ground and beat the streets. Now, if you are with someone who is a business colleague, the simplest way that I tell that I tell people, like my clients, is if you're going to dinner with, like, for instance, my mom is my business partner. If me and my mom is going to dinner, we talk about business. And yep. This could be her birthday dinner. Guess what we just had?
Yeah.
That was a business expense.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was a bona fide business. You understand? Like, there was a relationship because she's my business partner. So it doesn't matter. Anytime me and my mom eat together, it's a business expense. And I'm about to show you something so that we can tie that all together. But before I do that, I want to ask you guys a question, because I just want to try to keep, I know that we're on the phone, but I want to keep you guys engaged. When do you ever eat with someone who's not a client, who's not a prospect, who's not a referral source, or who's not a business colleague? Even though you guys aren't saying it out loud, that answer is probably never. Because especially if you are a real estate agent, if you are insurance or investment professional, or if you are a multi-level marketer and you have a product that you, like Pat is with Legal Shield, she has a product. Everybody that Pat talks to is a potential prospect.
Absolutely.
A potential business partner.
Or absolutely.
Customer. Everybody.
Right.
But Pat, the reality of the situation is it don't matter who you have dinner with.
That's right.
Who you have lunch with. Like, everybody you talk to is a potential, that is a potential business deal.
Yeah.
So basically what I'm telling you is the IRS know you have to eat. So the only thing that they say, because every time you eat, if you are a small business owner, every time you eat is deductible. And they know you have to eat. So basically what they do is they say, okay, we're going to come up with a happy medium. So opposed to you being like, we're not going to let you come, you know, and deduct if you spent $30, you know, we're only going to let you deduct 15 of those $30 because you had to eat regardless. But because you are a business owner, we're going to grant you this, you know, availability, because you just were sitting at the table with a potential somebody in order to grow your business. So they give us that allowance in order to do that. So now let me ask you guys another question. How many times do you entertain at home?
Yeah.
When you are entertaining at home, do you ever discuss business? Are you deducting those meals?
Nah.
Because they don't say that you have to eat out. Sometimes we'll have something like people, like they host these, I think Mary Kay and a lot of the different businesses, they'll have host, a lot of the jewelry companies do it, where they'll host these in-home parties, you know, interest parties. I can't remember exactly what they're called. But when you have those things, there's food. You have like little hors d'oeuvres and you have this and you have that. Well,
yeah.
If you're hosting that party as a business, that is a business expense. If you are the person that's selling that, if you are the representative of that company, whatever you have. So it doesn't mean you have to eat out. You don't have to eat out. Sometimes you might invite your business partners over for dinner and you go to Publix and buy everything. That's a business expense.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's important that we know, you know, what we can and cannot deduct, because a lot of times we end up leaving money on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So here, like when we're talking about that, it's important to understand that the other thing is you don't have to keep all your receipts. So if you have a receipt for expenses that's under $75, you don't have to have the physical receipt. What you do have to do, though, is there needs to be a record, and I think Pat is a beast at this. Because we know receipts fade, right? You can go to a restaurant, today, and in 3 months, you don't even know what was on that receipt because the receipt is going to fade away. So Pat is, when I saw Pat do this one time, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, that is just amazing because a lot of people miss out on this deduction because they don't do it. And what Pat does is she writes down, as soon as her bill comes, she writes down where she ate at, how much her meal was, like, what the bill was, how much it was, how much she paid. She writes the date on there, and if I'm not mistaken, she writes the purpose. Like, what was this meal of? Like, who am I meeting with, and what did we talk about?
You own it, girl, right?
And she actually, every time I've been out with Pat several times, and when that, the first thing she do before she take her card out to pay the bill is she write those things on that receipt. So that way, when she get home, she don't have to try to remember what this come from or what this was about. You just go ahead and write it on there. And that, you don't have to do that with just your meals. Even if it's, you can do it with any receipt, because receipts, they do fade.
They do.
But here, when you're making a record, if it's something under $75 where you don't have to have the physical receipt, there's 5 pieces of information that the IRS requests that you have. So when you, on your receipts or on your diary, however it is that you're keeping track of, there's 5 pieces of information that you need to legitimize that expense when you have a meal, and really of anything. Those 5 things is going to be, the IRS wants to know how much you paid for the meal, the date that you had the meal, the place where it was, so the name of the restaurant, the business purpose of your discussion, and your business relationship with your guest. Those are the awesome 5 things that the IRS wants to know. And Pat, you got that down to a science. It would make a job for a tax planner and preparer so much easier if we could get everyone to do that same thing. So, Pat, I say kudos to you, because I know that, you do that because I've seen you do it.
Yeah, you're right.
As we bring this in and bring it all together, and we see, you know, how business owners miss out on tax breaks, let's talk about the biggest mistake of all. Many of you are probably trying to figure out, well, after we talked about all of this, maybe you knew it, maybe you didn't, what else could there be? Like we said it earlier, that the biggest mistake is failing to plan. And I'm sure you guys heard saying before, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. It's a cliche, but it's true. But the biggest mistake is not having a tax strategy planner on your team. Not having someone that can come in and sit down with you and tell you and go through with you and work with you and show you right now in June is when we start planning for taxes.
Awesome.
January is when tax planning starts. We can't wait until, because there are, like, I'm 6 foot tall without any shoes on, and the IRS tax code is probably taller than I am. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the opportunities. But if you don't have me or someone such as me on your team, then you would never know that. You won't know what to do. You know, we'll still be turning our wheels in January, doing like January through April, doing our taxes. We need to start tax planning. We need to start, looking at that stuff right now.
Now, absolutely.
We over here at A-Class Tax, we are a true tax planning company. We'll tell you what to do. We'll tell you when to do it. We'll show you how to do it. And we will hold your hand and walk you through it.
Can you make sure you give them your contact information? I certainly don't want to hang up without doing that, because these are private issues sometimes. And I think the number would be very good, because we know people don't respond right away all the time based on how everybody's situation is unique and different. But to have your number in our arsenal is a bonus. So go ahead and give your email and your phone number just in case.
I will give you my phone number, my direct cell phone number, which all of my clients have, so that you can have direct access to me. My direct cell phone number is 561-806-3858. Again, that's 561-806-3858. And also, I just want you guys to know what I just gave you guys, that's actually like a full webinar that I do, and I condensed it to make it fit within this call within like a little, the 30 or 45 minutes that I've been speaking. But there's, yeah. There's like, I just gave you guys like the potatoes, but there's like the meat and the vegetables. Like, it's a full course meal, and I really tried to give you all a lot of the information, but shrink it down. But if you're interested in attending that webinar, I'm going to be doing that webinar on next Wednesday, which is the 5th of July. And if you're interested, at that cell phone number that I just gave you, shoot me a text message with your name and email address, and I will get the link to you so that you can go ahead and register for that. Because, like I said, it's important that you understand, and I just gave you just some of it. Like, it's not even all of it. Like, there's so much information, and as Pat said, that it is personal, you know, when we're talking about taxes, when we're talking about income. So if you have any questions, you can feel free to give me a call. We do offer 30-minute consultations that are complimentary. So please feel free to reach out to me. Again, my cell phone number is 561-806-3858. My email address is C Brown, and that's C, the first initial of my first name, then my last name, Brown, and it's spelled just like the color. And it's C Brown at A Class Tax Solutions with an S at the end, .net. And if you wanted to, you can give us a call, and we can go ahead and do the consultation, prepare a written tax plan or a financial life plan for you that will address you, your family, the home, your job, your business, your investment, like anything that concerns you, we will address that. We will even review any previous year tax returns just to see if there was any money left on the table. And again, Pat, I would like to say thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak before your audience. And if anyone is serious about getting more information or taking advantage of any of the strategies that we discussed today, please feel free to reach out to me either by the number that I provided or the email address.
Okay. Thank you, Sir Chantel. Another thing I wanted to share is that when you gave out the number, I'm just saying, everybody texts now too. Can they text you? Is this number, will they receive, this is the number they can receive, but you can receive a text on as well?
Yes, ma'am.
That's if the they want to just say, put me in, if I just wanted to tell you, Chantel, put me in the queue for the queue, meaning the list for the, on the list for the webinar, would that be sufficient?
That would be sufficient. Shoot me an email. A text message to that number. The only thing that I would need is definitely, I want to know your name so I know who I'm talking to.
Absolutely.
And your email address. And we can get you signed up for that webinar, which will be the meat and the vegetables for the potatoes that you got today.
Also, I'm going to let everybody go, but we did start late, and thank y'all so much for staying on the call. And I want to open the floor. Anybody may have some questions they want to ask, if y'all don't mind. Anyone have any questions?
Hi, I have a quick question. Okay, my dad, he retired, and I know when he was trying to, like, file his taxes, usually I do the TurboTax for him. But he does have a side business, but whenever he try to do his taxes, like, he, it's just that he ends up owing money because they saying because he retired, he gets Social Security, like, he can never get money back. Is that true?
So
Yes and no. Yes, if his only source of retirement income is Social Security and he's not withholding anything from his Social Security, then yes. There is generally speaking, with no children and no refundable credits in place, and if you don't pay anything into the system, then there is no money for a refund. So there would have to be, and that's where the yes and no comes in, that because it would just depend on, in his situation, if he has a side business and the self-employment, what type of refundable credits could he possibly qualify for that will qualify him for a refund. But short answer, short of children, having kids or earned income, and Social Security is not a earned income. If Social Security is his only source of income outside of his business and there's nothing being paid in, then that is correct. There is no refund for him to receive.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And the last thing that I wanted to just share one thing is when you said something about January through July, about not waiting to the last minute. What I do normally, just to share this, it could help somebody, may not. But what I normally do, because those receipts do add up. If you're really keeping good records, those things do add up. And as business owners, that can be very time consuming, very tedious. My kids used to do it, but they're not with me anymore. So my daughter would do it with the neat and all that stuff and keep them up. But now I go ahead and I hire a virtual assistant. And right around now, we're working on those receipts so that they don't back up, don't pile up, like you said, at the last minute. And normally mid-year, I start putting those receipts in order on an Excel form and so on and so forth. So, and then I have her send that form to me in the case something happens to her. I have that document and then I can finish it or have someone else finish it. So that was just a little nugget, something I do to keep the pressure off at the end of the year, because them things would be a headache trying to put all those receipts together. So that was all I have. Chantel, I want to say thank you so much for joining in today.
I have a quick question.
Oh, go.
Okay, I have a quick question. I've heard on like the home office and the vehicle, if it's not in your name, it's not a deduction. Is that true? And what time is the webinar? Those are my two questions.
And okay. Who am I talking to?
This is Ardana.
I know Ardana ain't said talking on this line. Everybody give her a clap, clap, clap. Hey, girl.
Well, I'm talking now because it stopped lightning. It was lightning, so I couldn't say nothing.
Thank you. That was a good question. Go ahead, Chantel.
All right. Okay. So home office and... I'm sorry, I just drew a blank. I heard what you said. I apologize. Home office and vehicle expenses, if they're not in your name, then it's not a deduction. So my question to you would be, who pays the bill?
Like, okay, with the home office, it would be rental. So are you still alive? Pay it.
Okay, you pay the deduction is towards, okay. So this is, I'm trying to give you a short, I'm trying to give you, answer your question without going all taxi on you, because I'm known to do that. It is a rental, and we're talking about the home office deduction. So if you have a business and you have a home somewhere where you pay bills at, it doesn't matter whose name the bill's in, but you reside at that address, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so like for anyone, and the reason I'm asking that is because you can't take the home deduction at my house. You understand what I'm saying? Like if it's where you, it doesn't have to necessarily be in your name as long as you're paying bills there. So
gotcha.
Your home deduction will be based on what you pay. So let's just say, for instance, if you have a business and you have a home office and your rent is, I like to use simple numbers, your rent is $800, but you only pay $400, your roommate paid the other $400. So your home office deduction is going to be based on the $400 that you pay.
Understood.
And then for the vehicle, it's going to be pretty much the same thing, because we have people who have vehicles all the time that's not in their name, but they are the owner-operator of the vehicle, if that makes sense. Like you're the one, like you drive, like there was a long time when my vehicle was in my mom's name. but I made the payments on it. You know, I paid the insurance on it. It was just in her name. But if I needed to go back and show proof that I was the one who, you know, this is the vehicle that I use, long as you have that, it doesn't matter. Like, the IRS don't ask you whose name the vehicle is in.
Okay,
you
understood.
Just have to be able to prove that you're the one that is legally able to take this particular deduction. Now, there are other tax credits that, or deductions that it has to be the owner, but this isn't one of those. And the last question is, the webinar is Wednesday, the 5th of July at 6 p.m. And if you're, so Wednesday, and it will be recorded. So what we may do is, if we have quite a few people who are unable to make it live, then we could always send the recording to you. But I would suggest you be there live, because, again, you'll be able to ask questions.
Right. Okay, that's my birthday, but I'm going to try to be there, but we'll see. Happy birthday, me.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, this is the last thing I want to tap right here, because I think I have to go with this. For those of you who are business owners, we do, Legal Shield does have a legal plan supplement for your small business, and it's only $9.95. However, you do have to have the membership first, which is only $17.95 a month per individual. Family plans, if there's a spouse included, would be $19.95, as well as children up to the age of 26. But I wanted to share this because it talks about a home, and they just started this too, so it doesn't get any less expensive than this. The home-based business supplement, what it does for you, it gives you unlimited advice, phone consultation on unlimited number of business topics, even on pre-existing issues. And I'm sharing this because Chantel said it very clearly. If we don't ask questions and we don't have access to attorneys, then like we can lose money. And when we lose money, or when we are in a legal bind, it's going to affect not just you, it's going to affect your entire business, because we are our business. Also, legal document reviews up to 15 pages. They review those documents. Up to 3 business contracts of documents, they review for you per month. And these reviews does not include a review of documents which are relating to court proceedings or lawsuits. That's a different issue. The letters and phone calls, they write a letter on your behalf. They make a phone call on your behalf. You can get for your small business, as long as this is a plan where you don't have employees, it's just you, like myself and some of us. They'll write up to 6 letters a year per subject matter. Okay, and most cases, trust me, they resolve the issues. Those letters are huge, they're powerful. Debt collection letters are written on your behalf. A lot of times people owe us money, that's family members and anybody else. And sometimes you just need to send people a message. But the bottom line is, they will also send out a debt collection letter when people owe you money. Specialty matters and out-of-state consultation, you get 2 30-minute consultations per year, which goes back again to what Santel's talking about. We got to talk to these people who are the experts. Topics include out-of-state business, areas of law, employment, tax, securities, intellectual property, international law, import export, and it's a lot of import export going on now, antitrust, immigration, and lastly, IRS audits. And I had to say that this plan also covers IRS audits, which is included in the Schedule C and E. But at any rate, the bottom line is, this $9.95 a month protect your legal rights. And anybody want that information at any given time, you know, we have it. I have it. Chantel have it. Oh my God, who else has it? Pam has it. So people are waking up and realizing that, rather than pay $250 an hour for an attorney, you know what? I'm gonna go with Legal Shield. So that's all I wanted to share. And again, thank you, Chantel, for helping us out through this. And you gave us a lot of valuable information. I'm so grateful that I heard it. And I always rate myself when I hear information like this. I'm not doing too bad, but I can do some things a little better. So with that, if anybody does not have any more questions, I want to say thank all of you, and I'll try to do better on sending my call out next month. And we'll see you on the webinar, hopefully, God willing.
So, Pat, I have a question. Next week is the 4th, so is the call for next week on the?
I'm glad you asked that question. No, I am not interviewing anyone next week. No, next week we're not going to be interviewing anyone. And next week, and I think after that, we will have the schedule is made for we have, I can't remember who it is. I think it's DaVinci from South Carolina. I mean, from Atlanta. I think she has like the 11. And then Lady Sears, I'll be calling you and reaching out to you. And Michael, I think I have to get you also. How about that? So I'll be reaching out to you all for a date. For a date to schedule you all.
Thank you.
And I'm going to do that right now before we get off the phone. Okay, so we're in June right now. Heather Schooler, then it was Chantel. So I have Chantel, 27. Then we're going into July. The 4th, we're skipping the 4th. And it will be the 11th. Oh, I got to turn the page. I'm sorry, y'all. Okay, yes. DaVinci, Lindsay is on the 11th. I don't have anyone for the 18th. So can we go ahead and book these two calls, Michael, between you and we have Lady Sears. Which one of y'all would like to take the 18th? Or does it matter?
I'll take the 18th and get it over with.
Doll, Michael. We don't know. Right? Okay, Michael Jones, Michael. And then we have Lady Sears. Would you like to be on the 25th?
Okay.
That would be great.
Fine.
All I ask you all to do, if you all could share the message and ask people to get on the calls. I appreciate those two ladies that gotten on the call with Chantel. And this is what we do, because everybody can use all of this valuable information. So that was Miss Renata. Thank you so much. And Miss Perkins, thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. And you all will be getting calls moving forward. I'll put you all in the queue or on the list. And hopefully you'll be getting calls and you can jump on. And maybe we can get you guys to interview too. I don't know what you all, if y'all would like to do that in the future. Miss Renata, would you like to be a part of an interview? What about Ms. Perkins?
Yes.
I know y'all might be on mute. Ms. Perkins?
Yes.
You said yes?
I said yes. I wouldn't mind. I am.
Awesome. Sounds like a plan to me. Okay. Sounds good. So we're going to put you down then for August the 7th, Ms. Perkins. Could you spell your name, full name, please?
C-L-O-R-I-A.
Are you thinking?
Gloria Perkins?
Yes.
And your phone number?
It's 561.
And it's, I'm looking at it. Uh-huh.
3955.
Okay, great. Good job. And then last week, we have the 14th open. I don't know if Ms. Renata is on mute. Okay, so we have Ms. Perkins, and Chantel, you can communicate with her because she might not be hearing me. And then if she wants to be certain, y'all can call me back, text me, whatever, okay?
Oh, no problem.
Thank you again, everybody.
I'm here. I'm here. I was on mute. I had the phone on mute.
I thought so. Okay, so we got one day. We have another date open, and I wanted to know if you wanted to be interviewed, if we could put you down to grace our audience with your expertise on the 14th of August.
Okay, yes, you can put me down.
Okay, can you spell your first and last name so I have it correct? Because I know I scribbled it.
R-E-N-A-T-A. Last name, N as in Nancy, A-S-H.
N as in Nancy.
A-S-H. Nash.
Got it. Yeah, I didn't have that right. Okay, great. Now, and your phone number is 904-323-1558. Okay, great. Awesome. Good job. Thank you all, everybody. I'm good. I'm booked, and I'm a happy camper. You all have a wonderful day, rest of the week, and let's pray for each other.
Pat.
Yes.
Excuse me. Oh, could
Chantel, give that phone number one more time, please. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's 561.
Okay.
806.
Oh, 806. Okay.
Yeah, 3858. I'm sorry.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay, Michael. Can you get Can you give me your number just for the record? I can look it up, but I just want to. It's not showing. Go ahead.
203.
Uh huh.
893.
Uh huh.
3798.
I have 203.
893.
3798. Okay, great. So at your earliest convenience, you all, if y'all could just send me an email with a little bit of one of your little, just a little email about your autobiography. I love to post the pictures. I don't have pictures of you all. If y'all could shoot me and send me a picture, I would love to have it to post. Okay, is that okay with everybody? Can y'all come up a cell phone picture and send it to me? You can send it right to my cell phone. Take it and send it to my cell phone if you don't have any special ones that you want me to use. Otherwise, you can send it to my email, however you want to send it. Is that okay?
All right.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. And just send it as soon as possible. I have them. I have a little folder. I keep everything in. God bless you. Procrastination would destroy a whole lot of stuff. So y'all just go ahead and send it as soon as you can, and I'll hold on to it for you.
Okay.
Thank you. And you all have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
You too.